Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C., stepping in for Monica this morning, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 7th, 2014. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are starting on page 7, the last paragraph. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Jaina N., the 12 Traditions, Maura Z. Reading the text will be announced when Monica returns. The reference number for yesterday, Thursday, November 6, 2014, is 7013. 7013. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jaina N. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jaina N. from Virginia, recovering compulsive overeater, and very grateful to be here. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Made a list of all people we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Continued to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Jaina. And I will now ask Maura Z. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Thank you, Monica. This is Maura Z., grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Virginia. 1, the common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Mara. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we are resuming our study of the Big Book. We are in Bill's story. We are on page 7. We are going to be starting with the third paragraph, and this is a review, but it was not. And then we will be discussing the next paragraph that starts, "They did not need to tell me." And the share ID for yesterday, Thursday, the 6th day of November, was 7013. And I will ask Hoodie to begin reading.
Good morning, Monica. Good morning, a vision for you. This is Hoodie, a recovered compulsive overeater here in Israel. But it was not for that fateful day came when I drank once more. The curve of my declining moral and bodily health fell off like a ski jump. After a time, I returned to the hospital. This was the finish. The curtain, it seemed to me. My weary and despairing wife was informed that it would all end with heart failure during delirium tremens, or I would develop a wet brain, perhaps within a year. She would soon have to give me over to the undertaker or the asylum. They did not need to tell me. I knew and almost welcomed the idea. It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who had thought so well of myself, and my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. Now I was to plunge into the dark, joining that endless procession of sots who had gone on before. I thought of my poor wife. It had been much happiness after all. What would I not give to make amends? But that was over now. And I love this. I don't really love this paragraph, but this paragraph really reminds me of where I am. Where I was in that desperate place, that bottom that I had hit. It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who thought so well of myself, you know, I had so much pride. I'm not that next person. I could do many, many things, and I was very capable. But I didn't have all these problems. And what's wrong with me? I was just cornered. I tried to lift myself up out of this this dark place, and I kept failing until, you know, I just hear of a quote, you could be done when you stop digging. And all I had to do was stop digging, no more. I have, I have a problem. You both brought me the tome, and I'm sick and tired of fighting this anymore. I'm not digging anymore to find another way. And I'm ready to go to any length. Look at what's going on around me. In my case, my poor husband, poor children. There's children in the background. People who need me, need us, need recovery. And you know, what could I not do to make amends? What would I not do? Am I ready and willing, wholly willing, to go to any lengths for victory from this obsession, from this allergy of the body and obsession of the mind? And these 12 steps was the answer to me, and is the answer to a happy and successful life. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Hootie. And would anyone like to comment on what was read this morning?
This
morning,
is Paula.
Monica.
May I share?
Okay, Charles, Paula, anybody else? All right, Charles, go ahead, and then Paula.
Good morning, visionaries. My name is Charles. I eat too much. A recovered compulsive overeater from Yonkers, New York, represent. Monica, thank you for your continued service, and thank you for everybody on the line. A lot of good money here. It was a devastating blow to my pride. I, who had thought so well of myself and my abilities and my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. Now I was to plunge in the dark, joining an endless procession. You know, the first step was the most greatest thing, and the worst thing in my life when I came to that realization that, man, this reminds me of like my eating history. I had bear claws on it. Dang, I was going to plunge into the dark. I couldn't. You mean I can't have it no more? You mean I can't have them binge foods no more? And come on, I've done other things before, other unbelievable things before, so I couldn't have it? It was over. You know, it was the worst thing. I don't know about y'all. I'm talking about Charles. I eat too much. The guy that came to from sugar drunkenness. You mean I couldn't have those things no more? I couldn't do it by myself? You know, it was the worst thing when my mind was thinking about, oh, I can't have that stuff no more. But it was the greatest thing when I realized that I couldn't do this anymore. I couldn't do this. That's why every single day I say I live in 10, 11, 12, and 1. Because this compulsive overeater, if I get a bright idea, I will think, again, that I was doing so well with my own abilities. My own abilities almost destroyed me. My A1C was 15.4 2 years ago. It's down to 5.1 right now. Still got a little work, but, you know, I'm a step on the disease's neck every single day, realizing that it was over when it was concerned with I. But when I went to a higher power and we, when I came to a visionary, like I always say, I was blinded. We can see together, right? So much stuff, and I can just recall being a newcomer coming up in here saying, "Man, what would I not give to make amends?" Just like a newcomer, want to jump right to step 8 and 9, don't know nothing about program. And you know what? Every single day I wake up with that vigilance that I don't know nothing, and I need to be brainwashed again by the visionaries. And with that, I'm going to pass. My name is Charles. I eat too much. I recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Charles. Paula, you're up.
And thank you. And thank you for your service today on this day. And my name is Paula. And I am a compulsive overeater. And today I may say recovered by the grace of God. But I want to go to this line on 8, this page. And this is really not where I want to go, but this is where I will go. This must be the beginning. And it starts with the first word here on the top of the page. Oh, always when I felt like I was on top. Pride. Pride. I can do this. I'm okay with this. And another day would pass. And then I'm going to go on, as he did. I who had thought, and there it is, all in the mind, so well of myself and my abilities, of my capacities to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. What do you find in the corner? See, that's where you have to be. The place that you avoid. I don't want to be there, but that's where you must be. You see, my pride would keep me out of the corner. But even here, everything failed. But then he goes on, and I'll read the words as they say. These are words that I don't want to camp out at. Some I want to just sit around. Oh, doesn't this feel good? Yeah, recovered. Oh, I'm liking that feeling. Not this one. But this is the one that you need to take you there. Now I was to plunge into the dark. Joining. Becoming part of that endless procession of sorts, same as I, who had gone on before. But I want to end with, there had been much happiness after all. Throughout my life, I can say that. What would I not give to make amends? But that was over now. The sorries were done. The sorries were done. Because they didn't work anymore. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to change tomorrow. Oh, I'm so sorry what I've done to my physical body. Those that I love, my own family, my own children. Oh, I'm so sorry. The sorries are done. The amends. It's over now. Cannot have a beginning without an ending. With that, I thank you, and I do pass.
Thank you, Paula. And who else would like to comment on this paragraph, the second paragraph that was read?
Hi, Monica. This is Voss. I'd like to share.
Hi, Suji.
Vasa, Suji.
California.
Larry.
I heard Larry. I heard somebody from California before Larry.
Mary Lee.
Mary Lee?
Yeah.
Okay. We got Vasa, Suji, Mary Lee, and Larry. Vasa, you're up.
Millie L.
Thank you. Thank you, Monica, for your service, and good morning, Vision for You. And I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Massachusetts. Pride. I was too proud to admit I couldn't do it anymore. And I found a place where I could go, and I heard how other people felt. And it gave me permission to say, you know what, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I can't do this by myself. Because I heard other people say it, and I thought I had to be strong to be able to handle everything. What's wrong with me? Why shouldn't I be able to handle this? Well, I tried. I tried for many, many, many years, and I couldn't. And again, I was ready to humble myself and say, I can't do this anymore myself, and I needed help. And in many ways, I just felt relieved, like the paragraph before this. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazing, weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. And I came to the point, like, I still was very prideful in many other areas. You know, I can do this, I can do that, you know, being the overachiever and accomplisher and this and that. But when I came to the food, I came to the end of me. I could not do it anymore. And I was, it's live or die, Vasa. That was my thing. Live or die. Do you want to continue this pattern? Or do you want to change? And again, I didn't want to die. I just had a child. He was only 2 or 3 years old, and I had older kids. And if I didn't get the help, I would be dead today. So my motivation was, I had a child. He wouldn't have a mother if I kept on going the way I was going. And my kids wouldn't have seen their mother at their weddings or, you know, for their grandkids there. So I'm just so grateful that I found Vision for You, the big book. It showed me how to do it. And I'm so grateful that God brought me into the program, into recovery, put the food down, get my mind cleared, and followed and worked the steps the way they laid out. One by one, my sponsor said, don't jump from 1 to 6 or 7. You know, we do this one step at a time, and the first 3 steps are the foundation of the program, and that's all I focus, God and me and my abstinence, God, me and the abstinence. And just, you know, kept listening to the big book, read the paragraphs, and just pay attention, one sentence, one paragraph at a time. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Vasa. Suji, you're up.
Good morning, Monica and everybody. It's Suji, recovered in southeastern Pennsylvania. And, the endless procession of thoughts. let's see. Who am I today? Okay, today I embrace all my identity. So today I'm Suji from southeastern Pennsylvania, a recovered Eastern European Jewish doctor. And this reminds me of something one of my very favorite teachers taught me one day. When I was telling the story about something I was supposed to report to him, he was my next in command, and he said to me, you are just like me. We both have the slave mentality. And what was that I suffer from? It's sort of like, like I had a music teacher who made me play. I followed his directions to learn to play piano, and I played March Slav by Tchaikovsky, which is a little piece that sounds like a bunch of slaves marching, which fit exactly, that it's the slave marching that gets us in that corner with the food, that got Bill Wilson in the corner with the alcohol, that you have nowhere to turn when you are a slave to that. Your will is completely in the pot and the bag and the boxes and all of that stuff. And it's a terrible place to be. And it feels so much better to go through the process, even though the process is painful at times. It's a joyful process, that process of the change steps that can follow this realization that we're a wreck. It's not only the food that has to be surrendered, it's us. But the surrender is really joyous, and it ends in a terrific place. So be mindful of this. It's leaning in, and it's letting up and letting go. You let up, and you see the humor in it, because we don't have to stay stuck like that. But it requires a decision to do what other people have done that's helped them, and to have a little bit of faith. You just need a little bit of faith to begin to do it. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Mary Lee in Paso Robles, California, recovered compulsive overeater. And I just feel so grateful. 9 years ago, I decided that the only way that I could stop compulsively overeating was to have a surgical intervention, and I went on a last hurrah cruise, and I met a woman that was living in 10, 11, and 12 in program, and I just give such thanks. I did gain 15 pounds in 14 days on that cruise, and I didn't meet her until the second to the last day, and I just, what a blessing. And so then I started on the journey of working the steps with her and released a great amount of weight and was living happy, joyously, and freely until complacency hit. And I'm really grateful that 2 years ago I found the Visionaries, and I have been back on track since then. And I just, love to be able to pause once in a while. And Monica, your laugh has just carried me through many times when I've just, anyway, I'm rambling. I'm just grateful to be on program and on track. And thank you, Mary Lee in Paso Robles, California.
Thank you. Mary Kay, it's your turn.
Good morning. Good morning, Larry Kay, recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. Thanks, Mel. Appreciate it. Yeah, a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff was said. So, you know, what I remember, you know, we got to remember here that, you know, through this whole thing, you know, Bill is taking step one. You know, he's right there. He's cornered. That's what I needed to be before I could take step one. There was no step one written in those days. Of course, he hadn't been divinely inspired. So I think this was all divinely inspired. He had not been divinely inspired to write that yet. But surely this is when, you know, just about when Bill had admitted defeat. He had admitted that he had become powerless over alcohol. You know, that his life had become unmanageable. And he'll soon talk about alcohol becoming his master. You know, it defeated him. We all have to get to that place, I think. You know I did. And let me tell you, my self-will, I don't know about yours, but I can tell you about mine. It's pretty strong. You know, it's pretty strong. It took a lot for me to be cornered at last. You know, to where, you know, I could join that endless procession of sots. There's a guy, I go to an AA meeting, who introduces himself as, you know, I am so-and-so, sock. You know, it's a term, you know, it's a humbling term, too, to me, you know, to acknowledge. You know, I said, I'm a, you know, Larry, recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, really? Mr. Big Shot over there, you know. No, I say that with humility, not cured, of course, right? We talk about getting to this recovered state by the grace of God. God has God effectuated my spiritual transformation. I did not effectuate my spiritual transformation myself. God did that for me. And so Bill is getting that place, and what it's darkest before the dawn, you know. It's really quite extraordinary when we get to that place where we can admit complete defeat, and you know, and of course, you know, I thought about my poor wife. He says there's been much happiness after all. Sure, I had some happiness, no doubt. There were some good times, but what I would not give to make amends to make those changes. And he was about to. See, that's the beauty. You may, you know, be of the same sentiment, but you're about to understand that you're cornered. You're screwed. It's okay. It's darkest before the dawn, and then we're lifted. God lifts us from this. That's what he did for me as the result of working these steps. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. With that, I pass.
Thank you. And we'll move on to continue the reading here with Carolyn S. Would you please read that next paragraph on page 8? No words can tell.
Yes, thank you, Monica. Carolyn S. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater. No words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity, quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I have been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, quicksand. That's how I felt. It's like, you know, no matter what I tried, no matter what diet, no matter what, you know, quick fix, it was quicksand. I was going down, 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 and I could not get out alone. And the more you struggle, the faster you sink. You have to have help to get out of quicksand. You need someone to come along with a branch, or someone has to pull you out of that. And, of course, the someone in this case was not a person but God. But, you know, I had to first be there. I had to know this is quicksand. I'm going down. I had to realize I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Food was my master. I mean, how humbling, how, you know, his pride was shattered. My pride was shattered. You know, here I was, an accomplished, intelligent woman, you know, binging in a parking lot. I mean, what the hell? You know, why can't I fix this? I couldn't. I was going down. I needed help. And, you know, he talks in the next paragraph. He's a broken man. And that's what I was. I was a broken woman. I was just, you know, there was no hope. But, you know, again, how dark before the dawn? I mean, he's about to make this transition. He is making step one. He's basically on his knees here. He's saying, you know, I can't do anything. You know, I am nobody in this respect. But he is on the cusp, because he's done his step one. He is on the cusp of that fourth dimension of existence. He's going to give it all over, say, I give up, you know, reach for help. God is going to help him. God is going to do for him what he can't do for himself. He is going to know happiness, peace, and usefulness. It is a miracle. And I also believe that this book is divinely inspired. Every word in it just hits me in my heart. And every time I read it, there's something new in there. It's like magic. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Carolyn. And would anyone like to comment on what was read?
Can I share?
Carol G.
Carol G.
Kim.
One person, Rabia. Oh, okay, Rabia.
Sally.
And who else?
Sally.
Anna.
Sarah W.
Carol G. Kim.
I didn't hear that again.
Kim.
Last one? Kim, okay.
Anna.
All right, let's start with that. Rabia, Bella, Sarah W., and Kim, and then I'll try again. Thank you. Rabia, you're up. Star one to unmute, Rabia.
Good morning, visionaries. I'm chatting away here to myself. I am... I'm so grateful to be on the line with all of you this morning. As always, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New York, and I'm just so moved. First of all, I dear Carolyn, is, you know, we get to meet face to face fellow visionaries as we trudge this beautiful road of happy destiny, and so I have a community growing up around me of visionaries, and I'm so, so blessed. And this paragraph is just hitting home so much. A very dear friend of mine had a short relapse into sugar just a couple of hours, and just the power of it, I'm still shaken by it, and the pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, you know, the words of Bill is so descriptive, and when we're in that feeling, that so we're all, you know, so blessed to have this solution and this powerful message every morning, and this way to start our days. You know, this is my 11th step in words and in action. I do get up every morning and have my quiet prayer and meditation time. However, coming on the line, the power, and I speak of it often, the second tradition, I just love it. Our ultimate authority is a loving God right here, right now, as God is expressing that power through all of us. And so so this is the power I take with me into the day. I'm so grateful for every hour, for every day that I have a spiritual reprieve from this seemingly hopeless
disease, this sugar and this food, and today I get to live a life, as we all do, helping each other. And I just want to thank all of you again from the bottom of my heart that I know you better and that I know God better every day. And God bless us all. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Rabia. Bella, you're up.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Bella, and I'm a thankful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, Monica, for doing this service, and thank you very much, everybody on the line. Wow, loneliness, self-pity. Yes, such strong words. This is where I was. I was in loneliness, in self-pity. I didn't understand how come I am a social person, but still I was all the time lonely and alone. And I didn't understand. I was a people pleaser. I wanted so much to have friends, to be with friends. And I did everything people told me and even what they didn't tell me. I just did. I ignored my feelings, my respect, my accept. I just did. And yet I was all the time lonely and alone. And I didn't understand. I judge the whole entire world, and I judge myself. I blamed everybody, and I blame myself. And I was very much self-pity, because all the time I came to the same point. You see, Bella, nobody accepts you, nobody loves you, nobody needs you, nobody appreciates you. And it was a terrible thing. Now that I am, thank God, in the program, yes, I understand. I understand that I was connected to my ego. And I couldn't accept the fact that I am not perfect. I couldn't accept the fact that, yes, sometimes I do mistakes. And now, thank God, I am connected to a power greater than myself. I am connected to a power that accepts me and respects me. And yes, thank you, God. Now I know if God accepts me the way I am, yes, I accept myself too. And yes, I am human. I am a happy human. I am not perfect. My goal now is different. My goal now is not to be perfect and to say, oh, I never do mistakes. No, today my goal is to be connected to a power greater than myself and to give over the message that God wants for me and not my own message. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bella. Sarah W., you're up.
Good morning, Monica. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sarah W., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. He's in a really dark place, Bill, and I can really identify in, the pain, the utter loneliness, the isolation, the self-pity, the feeling like I'm all alone in the world and there's nobody else and that nobody cares and neither do I. And, it talks about alcohol being his master. And I think, I have this personality that for me, I push people away because of my fear of connection. That's been my history. And because I was afraid to connect with people, I utilized food from a very early age. And, so food became my friend, my lover, or what I thought. And what it did was it stripped me of any humanity that I had. And yet it allowed me to survive in some ways, too, because I don't know how I would have survived without it because I didn't know any better. We don't know any better, so we do what we do. And once we know, part of the first step, I think, is about coming into the room. We hear the message, and we start to realize, well, maybe I do have this problem, and there are other people that have it too. And so I guess for me, I had to come to a place where I realized I could stop eating but I could never stay stopped, and that was the whole problem. And it's been the steps that has allowed me to walk through life and to start to skip instead of, like, have my head hanging down. As Bella talked about, you know, the way we feel so terrible about ourselves, and we finally start to realize that we can become right-sized, and we can look people in the eye, and we can feel okay with ourselves, and we no longer, you know, fight people, and we no longer feel like the food is going to, you know, jump out of a box into our mouth. You know, we don't even think about the food anymore, and that's the reality of what we really do feel when we work the steps rigorously and really, you know, have it in our heart, the principles of the program. And I just wanted to just say those principles before I get off, and those principles are: the first step is honesty, the second step is hope, the third step is faith, the fourth step is courage, the fifth step is integrity, the sixth step is willingness, the seventh step is humility, the eighth step is brotherly love, the ninth step is justice, the 10th step is perseverance, the 11th step is spiritual awareness, and the 12th step is service. And I try to practice those to the best of my ability every single day. And thank you, God, and thank you, Vision, for you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sarah. Kim, you're up.
Good morning, Monica. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. Alcohol was my master. Come on, that sounds a little bit dramatic, doesn't it? I mean, I just need to lose some weight, for God's sake. You know, but if I look back on my life, where was my focus? What was my purpose in life? And I'm, you know, for example, I'm going to a wedding tonight, and I have to tell you, the weddings in my 20s, I can tell you what they had in the buffet, who had the chocolate fountains over the strawberries. I couldn't tell you who was in the wedding. No idea. You know, I actually lost a friendship in my 20s of a girl I knew since I was in fourth grade over arguments about weight and what size I was going to be in the wedding, to the point I wasn't even invited to the wedding, let alone in the wedding. You know, what route I took to work depended on what fast food restaurants I was trying to get to or which fast food restaurants I was trying to avoid if I was dieting. You know, I would hit 5 grocery stores on the way home because I didn't want to buy all my binge foods in one place because that would look bad. You know, when I was in college specifically, if I went into a room and I was the biggest person there, I would leave the room. I scheduled my classes in college at meal times to give myself the excuse to go down to the cafeteria, get the binge foods I wanted, go up into my dorm room and eat them. I mean, utensils had no meaning for me at that point. I needed the food. You know, I would think, well, do I want to have binge foods or do I want to pay my Verizon bill? Often the binge foods won out. When I babysat, I didn't pick babysitting jobs because of how the kids were. I picked it because I found out what was in their pantries. And those who had the stuff in the pantries, that's the job I took. I started out going to movies as a kid to hang out with my friends. But eventually, I didn't want people in there. I wanted to be in a dark room with all my binge foods for 2 hours so that I could just binge by my own. I tried pot in college, not because I wanted to try an illegal drug, but those potheads had really good binge foods, and I wanted to be able to eat the binge foods with them, so I was going to smoke pot with them. How many times did I sabotage a friend's diets because I wanted them to be able to still binge with me? If you ask me about vacations, it was picked on the restaurants I went to, not the attractions I went to. And I often picked binging at home in high school and college and in my 20s versus going out and socializing. If that isn't alcohol as my master, I don't know what is. And the last thing I want to say is I remember, you know, my friend Jennifer's a doctor, and she had a patient who was 450 pounds and was going to have toes removed the next morning from her diabetes. And she went into the room the night before and couldn't believe it. As she sat in bed eating cheesecake the day before she was getting her toes removed. And my thought was, well, you might as well enjoy the cheesecake if you're going to lose the toes anyways. That's how alcoholic is our master. We're going to lose our toes, but the ease and comfort of cheesecake is going to make it a little bit better. That is the reality of suffering from compulsive overeating. So alcohol was my master, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Kim. And Carol G., you had tried to get on my list earlier. Are you there?
Oh, yes. Can you hear me, Monica?
I can. Go ahead, Carol.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Vision for You. What a wonderful meeting. Wow. Where Bill is at this moment. Actually, when I was where Bill is at this moment, the last time, I couldn't feel anything anymore. I was actually numb by this time. I'd failed in OA. I'd failed to keep my food, the food down, and I couldn't stay stopped. What on earth was I going to do next? And of course, the thing I did next was come to Vision for You. And I hadn't yet experienced the freedom from that bitter morass that he's talking about. I'd been working the steps, but I hadn't been working the steps abstinently. And so I'd never experienced what I really needed to experience. And I couldn't get out of that ending darkness because, I don't know, it was almost like I'd been following directions, but they were still Carol's directions. They weren't actually the ones that were printed in the book. They were being filtered through my mind, through my mystic mind. And I had to come to a place where, there was no more yes buts, no well what ifs, no questions, will it work for me, no more resistance, no denial. And I think for me, a big stumbling block was self-pity. Self-pity was a huge stumbling block, mixed in with fear and arrogance. And either way, I kind of thrived on all the drama. Bill's story is very dramatic. But of course, it explained my life. My life was like that. It was a real roller coaster. But there was an awful lot of ease and comfort in self-pity. I was always complaining that I was the sick one, but I'd become this. It was a role I'd started to play. But I think that when I came to Vision View, I realized that God had another role for me to play. And it wasn't the role that I expected it to be. And now I'm recovered because I follow the directions and I've been paying attention to a Vision for You for a year and a half. I now see that there is a different place. There is something other than this bitter remorse that I have to keep going back into. There is something more than the self-pity. And now, today, I'm just required to listen to Vision for You every day, carry the message to people who are still suffering, live in 10, 11 and 12, and keep out of that quicksand best I can, and enjoy my new life. And I'm really, really grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carol.
Monica.
This is Monica. Excuse me?
Can I get added to the list for that second paragraph?
Anna.
Was this Charles?
Yes.
Charles. Anna?
Nancy.
Nancy. Okay, I'm going, and then Charles, Anna, and Nancy. Hi, everyone. My name is Monica, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, having a few technical difficulties here this morning, but anyway, here I am. So here we are, Bill's story, and I wanted to say a few words on the paragraph before and couldn't because I wasn't here, on how hopeless he was, you know, how powerless he was. He really realized, you know, oh, my God, I'm a drunk. Just like all those other thoughts. And then in this one here, in this paragraph, Bill's beginning his step one here. He's doing step one here. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed, beaten, overpowered. Alcohol was my master, one with control over. So he's starting to surrender here. Nothing is working. Bill's solution is not working anymore, alcohol. And he's dying. And I like the quicksand, quicksand, a situation into which entry can be quick, but removal can be difficult or impossible. And if I land in quicksand, the more I struggle, the deeper in I get. You know, I struggled with my self-knowledge, my determination, my willpower, and all I did was go deeper down. I needed someone to help me out of this. I needed this fellowship. I needed the steps. Most importantly of all, I needed God. And so with that, I'm going to pass, and Charles, you're up. Charles, star one to unmute.
Yeah, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you, Monica. Yeah, you know, with smartphones, you got to press, put your password in, and it's like crazy. Anyway, I had to drill down on this second, this paragraph here. You know, in my big book, I crossed out alcohol and I put sugar was my master. I said I put sugar with my master. Y'all quiet. I know I'm preaching good. I'm sorry. Like no words can tell the loneliness in the spirit. Yeah, that's that self-pity. Yeah, I understand that. I get it. You know, bare clothes on my bench food. I get it. Quicksand stretch all around me in every direction. You know, before Visions to You, I was loitering with an intent to recover. You know, but I had to realize this. I had to realize that I met my match in all directions, and sugar was my master. Sugar was my master. And if I get a bright idea, sugar will be my master again. But today I see the vision. I love that 1-8, pages 1-8 in Bill's story is all the drama and the addiction. And as we ease into 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, you know, we start seeing a vision of recovery. But I gotta realize this stuff first before I can cross into recovery. I got to realize all the crazy stuff I did. I got to get all that. My eating history, you know, I had to give it up in step one. I had to give it up. And I had to realize that I was in quicksand in all directions. And sugar is still my master if I get a bright idea. And that's my perfect step one. I had to jump in there. 15.4, you know, continuing to just binge on butter pecan ice cream and Louisiana crunch cake mixed up. I got to remember that today. If I don't remember my story and push my red wagon, it's over for me. Lights out. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Charles. Anna, you're up.
Good morning. I'm Anna H. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm gratefully recovered one day at a time. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah, this paragraph, I just have to say, Vision for You family, this paragraph, I love it. It's step one, but it's more than that to me, because it's the whole key basis to our disease, period. Because what he is saying right here is what I was not willing to admit until I was on my knees and had to admit it. I had made food my higher power my whole life. You know, I grew up going to church and religious and all this stuff, but when it came down to it, forget it. I was definitely worshiping at the altar of sugar, of whatever binge food you could get me. My whole life was planned around that. If it had to do with, you know, we talk about seeking a deeper spiritual connection to our higher power, forget it. I was seeking a deeper spiritual connection to my binge foods and continually seeking that on a daily basis. And as the book tells us, too, when habit becomes obsession, that's what happens. You know, when I continually reinforce those habits, the disease kicks in because I am a compulsive overeater, and it becomes an obsession, and that's what happened. And I kept making food my higher power. So this beautiful little paragraph sums it all up right there, that we've made this substance, this food, this alcohol, this whatever, For me, it can be people, places, and things. It can be situations. My higher power and anything that I act out with like that and turn to first thing, that's my higher power. But today, because of these steps, because I'm given a blueprint for living, because I get, I call my higher power God. I also call it Big Daddy. Good orderly direction. I get it through my fellows, through my sponsors, through A Vision for You, through the Big Book, and through asking for it. I get that direction today, and so my first response does not have to be to turn to that food anymore. And that's the freedom. And just wrapping up, if you're new today and on the line, and if you're tired of that being the first thing you reach for at every turn, if you're tired of food being the first thing you reach for, keep coming back. Keep listening. Keep asking people, keep exploring this, because it's given me freedom and it's given me my life back. And I'm sure there are plenty of other people on here who would also say the same thing for themselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. And Nancy, you're up. And we've only got a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'll try to make it short. Thank you. My name is Nancy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And the part that really struck me during the reading was that food was my master. And I reflected on, you know, slavery. The master makes the slave do things that he doesn't want to do. He makes the slave do things when he wants them to do it, regardless of how the slave really feels. And that is exactly what food did to me. I was reflecting on when I first moved away from home. I was in Chicago, lived in a high density area, and if you got a parking space, you were fortunate because I was a school teacher. I got home before most of my neighbors. I was able to park right in front of the building. And my disease had me getting up in the middle of the night, frightened, going to the only place that was open that time, not wanting to do it, not knowing how not to do it. And I reflected on that this morning, that I had no choice. I had to get up in the cold, go out and move, lose my parking space, come back having to park blocks away from where I live because the urge was so strong. I could not resist. Today, I've been set free because of the 12 steps, and Visions for You has really led me into recovery, and for that, I'm so grateful. I've been given an opportunity to share this message with other people. I accepted being a moderator of a regular OA meeting, and I really would like for visionaries to, you know, share their experience, strength, and hopes with the people. There are people who were just like me, and they're trying to fix, manage, and control the food, working steps 1, 2, 3. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity to share that, you know, there's actually recovery. I had a lady once I mentioned, and she said, she listened, she says, but they said they're recovered. And I said, you know, that's what the book promises. That's what the program promises us, recovery. So please, you know, I'm going to be calling people because I need recovered speakers. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you very much, Nancy, and thank you to all that were on the line today and shared. We will now close the meeting. It is that time, and we will now read from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I'll ask Deanna B. to please do that for us. Deanna B., are you with us?
Thank you, Deanna. I'm sorry, I'm Deanna. Thank you, Monica, for your service. My name is Deanna B. from Chicago. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.